Grace and peace be multiplied among us in the name of our risen and living Savior Jesus, who is the center, who is our person of peace. Amen. The text today is this reading, this gospel reading from the 10th chapter of Luke. If you've been following along as we've been reading through Luke in these last few weeks, you'll know that our pew Bibles, it's at about page 1005 where we find Jesus teaching his 72 sent ones, his messengers, and then also as the reading unfolds, speaking woes against those Galilean towns of Chorazin and Bethsaida, and also then as the returning messengers come and give their report and Jesus pronounces their authority. It's the very beginning of the passage, though, that I'd like to focus on today. It's verses 1 and verse 5 that I'd like to invite you to think of in a particularly focused way. And so verse 1 says this: "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go." That's verse 1. And verse 5: "When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. If not, it will return back to you." That's verses 5 and 6, actually. So, dear friends, these are our texts. These are our Savior's words. These are our marching orders. It makes me wonder, as I think about this group of 72 messengers, those who had been following along with Jesus' entourage for a little while, at least now, it makes me wonder how they decided to disperse after Jesus had given them the instructions, go to all the towns that I'm about to go to. How did they decide which groups would go where? If you do a little bit of quick math, it's really simple math. If there were 72 of them, some texts say there were 70, and they were in groups of two, that means either about 35 or 36 groups. So 35 or 36 different directions to disperse from. I'm guessing there probably weren't that many directions to go. So they would have had to say, well, this group is going to go towards the north, and this group is going to go towards the south, and maybe this group is good at climbing hills, so they're going to go into the hill country, and this group has been wanting to have a beach holiday, and so they're going to go towards the water. I wonder which group you would have been in. I think I might have gone toward the water. Was it that simple? I wonder if some of them said, well, you know, I'm from up north, and those people up there, I'm kind of a little bit tired of hanging around with those guys, so I'd like to go the opposite direction. I don't want to go towards my own family because they might recognize me, and they might wonder, what is he doing, or what is she doing? So I'm going to go the opposite direction. I wonder how they decided who would go where. Maybe some of them said, well, I don't speak the language down there, and so I'm going to stick out. So I'm going to go back to where I come from because I know how the people up there think. Which direction would you have gone? When I was in university, I was belonging, I was part of this group on campus, a group of Christian students that gathered together on campus. And now the name of the organization has changed, but it used to back then, it was called Campus Crusade for Christ. And I was part of that group. It was really helpful at that time of my life, but there was a little bit of a challenge for me, a little bit of awkwardness, I guess I could say, about fitting in with that group. I remember one particular Christmas break where there was a great big gathering of all these student groups from across Western Canada, not just from the university I was going to, but from all the other big universities, and including the U of A here, and we all gathered in downtown Vancouver at this great big hotel, this convention center, and the theme of this conference was, it was called Sweep the Planet. Sweep the Planet, and so they had these clever little skits, and now I'm not saying this because I want to criticize the organization, but it was awkward for me. There was one skit that I remember in particular, and someone was kind of using a broom to sweep up on the stage, and they were wondering, well, what are you doing? And they said, well, I'm sweeping the planet. And it made me wonder, is that what we're called to do, to sweep the planet? The planet's a big place. And when I think about these 72 sent ones, and Jesus is sending them to all the towns that he was about to go to, I wonder if they sometimes felt like, well, even if all 35 or 36 groups of us go to a town, Jesus, the world's still a pretty big place. We're not going to cover it. And is it worth beginning something that we can't really cover? I mean, as I was thinking about sweeping the planet, I wondered, even with that group of maybe 200 or 300 students, how far are we going to get? This was my skepticism, my own sort of cynicism coming to the surface. Now, the group that I was part of, and I'm going to sew these ideas together, I promise you, I'll do my best at least. The group that I was part of had a big vision, but it was not exciting to me because it was seeming hollow. And it was seeming like it was superficial, like we could sweep the planet, but would we really even talk to anyone while we were sweeping it? Or would we just run by them quickly and throw them a little track to force spiritual laws maybe and hope for the best? The instructions that Jesus gives to his messengers here fill in the heart of missionary activity, which I felt maybe was missing, at least in my experience among my student peers at university. It slows us down to realize what Jesus is really commissioning his 72 followers to go and do. If you read the text carefully, if you understand what is the mission here. We might have our own agendas about sweeping the planet, about having coverage and about multiplying and about having strategies that would proclaim to every ear in the world the saving message of Jesus. And those are good things to have in mind, I think, sometimes, to have this global vision, which really is God's vision. He would like for everyone to hear, but maybe for us, listening to Jesus' words here in this text, help us to remember that it's really just about one person at a time. It's really just about finding one person of peace and staying there for a little longer than maybe an initial conversation or a chance to share a tract or a Four Spiritual Laws booklet. And again, I really value the time that I spent among this group of radical, excited young student missionaries. They were good at getting people to go outside their comfort zone. But as I've come now to a sense of being more rooted in my faith and being more rooted in a sense of ministry here, even among us at Grace Lutheran, I've come to see that the kind of thing that happens over the course of years and even over the course of decades as we build relationships of trust, that's the kind of ministry, the heart-to-heart connection that also is included in Jesus' commission of his followers and his sent ones. For this is the reason Jesus came, that he might remove the callous of sin which grows stubbornly around our hearts and prevents us from having good and satisfying and vulnerable and intimate relationships. I'll say that again. Jesus came for this reason, that he might enable us, heal us, transform us so that we might have good, healthy, dynamic, growing relationships, both with him and with each other. Anything less, any kind of sweeping the planet or strategy or career-mindedness or goals that involve numbers or anything like that, it pales in comparison to the glory and the joy which come from knowing people and being known by them. It pales in comparison to the joy of knowing Jesus and being known by him in having our lives shared. Dear friends, this is simply about community. And so today, as I was studying this passage from Luke chapter 10 and reading Jesus' instructions to his 72 sent ones, I was struck by the difference between the culture of this evangelism-oriented, sweep-the-planet student group and the kind of life-sharing that Jesus describes here in even the missionaries that he sends out. He says, go into their houses. That's an interesting point, isn't it? I wonder if you caught that as we were reading the gospel text. He says, go into a house. He didn't say to stand on a street corner or to go to the marketplace. There's a very key difference there, isn't there? Jesus invites his followers to go into a house. And not just to go into a house, but then along with all of that would have come washing and making yourself prepared to enjoy a meal together and being the recipients of the hospitality that was offered. Can you imagine if this was also a strategy that we employed daily? If we were to knock on people's doors and say, I'm wondering if you're having supper tonight. Quite literally, that is something that doesn't happen ever in our culture of individualism and personal space. And yet,
I wonder what it would be, what it would transform, what it would look like for us as believers to do that. To bring with us a greeting of peace and to wonder, how will we be received? Perhaps it speaks to our own culture's sometimes grave missing the point about what is life really for and what is our purpose as a people, as a community. If we've forgotten how to be hospitable to each other and strangers, then maybe we're missing these opportunities to meet people of peace. As the group of 72 sent ones were deciding which direction they went, I wonder if it wasn't much more in Jesus' mind, who they were going to meet along the way. And not just along the road, but in the towns that they would visit. Who was he preparing as people of peace that they were going to be invited into their homes and given food and lodging? And who then would they begin to be building relationships with in order that they might proclaim his coming kingdom? As we hear this reading, this living word of God speaking to our hearts today, as we are confronted maybe by our own lack of hospitality or our culture's lack, if we want to hold it a little bit more at a distance, I wonder if we can hear God's Spirit speaking to our community also and nudging us towards this dangerous and risky business of forming relationships of trust. Because that's really what this is about, isn't it? Jesus is telling these 72 sent ones to go out and to form relationships of trust with people. It's not just about sweeping the planet. It's not about standing on the street corner just speaking to the masses. This is about forming heart-to-heart relationships. I wonder, who's a person of peace for you? Who's a person of peace for you? I know during our children's message, I invited the kids, or maybe anyone who's interested, to write or to draw a little diagram of your neighborhood. Well, here's the next step in that. If you have a little diagram of your neighborhood, even if you didn't draw one yet, go for it. Draw a little house there or a little street. Find a little scrap of blank space on your bulletin somewhere and draw your neighborhood. Draw your house at least. And then think of the people in your neighborhood, the people that you see maybe on a daily basis. Maybe you walk by them and they're walking their dog, or maybe you drive by, or maybe you share a parking garage or whatever it is you do. And think about then the people that you've been seeing lately in the last week. And you know, if you need help, open your smartphone and look at your texting app. Look at the last 5 people you've texted with. Go back and read through the conversations and look at what have you been discussing. Or maybe you use Facebook Messenger or whatever it might be. Look at your call history. You know, these devices that we have, they're smarter than we are sometimes. They've got longer memories at least. What I'm inviting you to do is to think about the person of peace that God might be sending right into your face today, right into your family, right into your household. Maybe there's someone who has just kind of been around. Actually, yesterday morning, I was just working on my van a little bit, underneath my van, and there was a guy walking through the neighborhood that I've seen lots before. His name is Shane, and I've talked with him, I've chatted with him, and Shane was just hanging around. And Shane sometimes sleeps outside. Sometimes I think he has places where he sleeps inside too. But he's been a person of peace in the neighborhood. And he was telling me there was a car, actually a van, that was broken into on Friday night, I guess. And someone had broken the window of this van, and so he was kind of hanging around. It was parked, actually, just right in front of the church here. And he was hanging around, making sure that nobody was taking anything out of this van and waiting for someone to come and realize that their window had been broken and then deal with it, I guess. And so for about 3 hours or so, Shane was just standing, hanging around on the lawn, peacefully, not bothering anyone, saying hello to people. And he waited, and then I had to go and do some other errands, but Andrea said she even saw him a few hours later. And then finally, someone from the Maureen Manor here, our neighbors just immediately to the north, came out, and they're new to the neighborhood. And there was Shane, standing by their van, keeping watch over it, making sure nobody was taking anything out of it, and saying, "Look, I noticed that this had been broken into, and so I'm just watching it, making sure you're okay." And so then, of course, they might have filed a police report. But I share that story not because it has any kind of glamorous big punchline to it, but because Shane, in my world at least, in my family's life and in my life, is a person of peace. And as I think about Shane and I wonder how to bless him and how to encourage him, I don't have easy solutions. I don't have just a little tract of 4 spiritual laws that I can throw his way and then be done. Actually, it's going to probably take lots of time and involvement and patience and care and love and maybe a few meals along the way, and probably I'll find more and more out about Shane and he'll find a few things out about me, and we'll have this opportunity then to have a relationship of trust. Along the way, the goodness of Jesus comes through. And as you do the same, as you seek out and as you find and as you make yourself available to people of peace in your neighborhood, the goodness of Jesus will come through you, even as it does through the whole church. As God pours his peace into this place, you as living vessels take it from here into the neighborhoods which you have been planted, and you pour it out among them. Dear friends, this is my best attempt to articulate, to voice the goodness of what Jesus has been doing in this place since it was established here. In this community of faith, this is how it works. Jesus has come near to you. Jesus, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the cosmic Lord of all creation, the healer of brokenness, and the forgiver of sins, has come near to you, and he has healed your heart. This is the message which we hear each week, week after week. He has filled you with his goodness, he has covered your sins, and he has made you whole, now filled you with peace to be sent out into his kingdom. Jesus has come near to you so that you might come near to the people he is sending you to meet, the people of peace which he has prepared in advance for you to love. And so, dear friends, as you are sent today, hear that his love for you is greater than you can understand and greater than you can contain. It overflows the boundaries of your life, and it flows into the lives around you. His work in your heart is drastic and revolutionary. It's turning you inside out, turning you from a person who thinks about strategy and numbers and maybe even sweeping the planet into someone who is available in love and in care for your neighbors. He's forming you in his image. For, dear friends, this is the heart of it, that Jesus himself came not to be served, but to serve, to pour himself out into the hearts and the homes around the tables of the people of the world. Even now, as we come to the climax of our worship service, as Jesus meets us here at his table, as he offers himself, the perfect person of peace, to you, my prayer and my hope is that he would fill you up with peace and that your portion would be abundant and overflowing, that you might flood your neighborhood with his peace now and forever, for his glory and for the glory of his coming kingdom. Amen. And now may the peace which comes only from our Savior Jesus continue to challenge and invite us into a deeper relationship with him as we reflect his image in the world. Amen.